I would say that it's totally impossible to have a new heart if it's not a changed heart. What you're talking about there, the new heart, is a description of regeneration. That was Ezekiel's term for it. It's also the terms of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. A new heart will I give them. That's a description of regeneration. I suppose when people distinguish that from a changed heart, what they mean, and it's a different usage of the word heart, what they mean is, if you've got a new heart, then you should have a changed way of life. You should have a change in what you love to do and what you live for. But that's a confusion of terminology, I think. When a person's got a new heart, he's regenerated. A change of heart is not enough to get anybody to heaven. You can be a changed person and still be a lost person. I've met many a lost person who got changed. I've met drunkards who didn't drink anymore, swears who didn't swear anymore, immoral people who turned straight and were upright and moral, but they weren't saved. So it's not just a change. It must be a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. And if he's a new creature, then old things pass away, all things become new. So there would be a change in his behavior, in his outlook, just because he's a new person. I don't want to get off on this because it's really too big and time is just about gone. And some of you are looking very sleepy. Sorry, Seth. You hear a lot about this loose language, you know, about a Christian. Well, we have two natures. There's the old nature and there's the new nature. And I understand what's being said, but really that's loose terminology. When you talk about nature that way, we have human nature. This is our nature. When Peter talked about being made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, some people take that to be a description of what has happened when you're born again. John Calvin, for example, believes that's looking forward to glorification. So without getting into that controversy, all I say is that we have a human nature. Now, the old man and the new man, now we're talking different language. And what does that mean? Well, let me try to sum it up in the simplest way possible. And this is not terribly simple, but it's the simplest I can make it. So this is where you're going to put those brains that you were all proud of to use. You're talking about the human will. When Adam was first created, his will was inclined, biased, or disposed toward God and toward holiness. Holiness came easy to Adam. Sin came hard. He wasn't in a state of equilibrium, a state of balance between good and evil, and when he chose sin, he just upset the balance a little. That's not what happened. He had a positive inclination or disposition of will. In theology, that's called his voluntary state. That's the state of his will. It's inclined toward God. When he sinned, he replaced that disposition with a disposition toward self and sin. In other words, he wrecked a good disposition and replaced it with an evil one. Now, he had the power to do that. He had the power to remain good, but he had, and this is another theological term, the power of contrary choice. He could choose the opposite. Okay? He could originate a new evil disposition of will. But as soon as he did that, he was fixed there. His will was depraved. He could not revert to his former state. He could not replace the evil disposition with a godly good disposition. Couldn't do that. Now, does he have a free will? Yes, he does, in one sense. And no, he doesn't, in a different sense. Does he have a free will? Yes, free will is the power to make volitions or choices according to the disposition of your will. His disposition is towards self and sin. That controls all his choices, but they're freely his choices. What he doesn't have is that power of contrary choice. He can't choose against that disposition. He could do that originally. He can't choose against that disposition. So what he needs is regeneration. He needs God to come and implant a new disposition of will within him, give him the power to choose God, to choose Christ, to follow good. That's what happens when you're saved. Now, a Christian has the power to follow God, but as you all know, a Christian still has the power to do wrong. Now, the new man is the description of that disposition of will to follow God. The old man is the disposition to go against God. Now you get to Romans 7, that's the battle that's on in a Christian. So it's not a matter that we have two natures, as if we're half man or woman and half something else. No, no. We are purely, simply human beings, human nature. But we have two possible inclinations for our will. But understand this, if you're saved, the dominant inclination is toward God. A Christian cannot live at peace in sin. If you can live at peace and enjoy yourself and go against God and Christ, then you're not saved. It's impossible. Because the dominating disposition or desire of your will is to please God. That's the new man. So what should you do? Paul says, put off the old man. Put on the new man. What does he mean? He told the Romans, chapter 13, 14, he said, make not provision for the flesh. In other words, don't get involved with the things that feed the flesh. If, like me, and a few other people I could mention, you're beginning to battle the middle-aged bulge, and there are a few pounds falling to parts of your anatomy that they didn't used to be in, and you don't want that to happen, what's the best diet in the world? Push the plate away and get up from the table. But if you make provision for it, you'll have it. Christians sit and watch filth on television, and then they wonder why they can't pray. They wonder why they think evil thoughts. They wonder why they don't get anything out of the Bible. They're making provision for the flesh. If you feed the flesh, it's going to flourish. Now, obviously, you're going to be as miserable and wretched as you can be, because the new man is the dominant man in a Christian. So put off the old and put on the new. The new heart, the new will, the new man will lead to a change of life.